I remember one time I was trying so hard to figure out what God wanted me to do. But God, what if I miss you? 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 And clearly he spoke in my heart, if you miss me, I'll find you.
Hi, friends. Welcome to Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast, where my friends and I talk about God's word and the real stuff of life, and we hold nothing back. I'm Ginger Stocky with Aaron Clooley, Jay, and of course, Joyce Meyer. We're all in different stages of life. A young career woman and mom to two sweet kiddos. An accomplished songwriter facing an unexpected new life's journey. A leader, creative, and author with a heart for adventure. And a world-renowned Bible teacher whose personal story has impacted millions. And there's you. Because sometimes you just need to talk about life with your girlfriends. So consider yourself one of us and let's talk it out. We are so glad you are all here. All of our friends are here together, and we're talking about probably, what do you think, life's biggest question?
Yes.
For most people. Yeah. Today we're talking about, what is my purpose?
Yeah.
And a part of that is, you know, what does God want me to do, and how do I hear him, and all of those questions. So today, some big, important, lofty questions, but I think we're going to simplify it maybe for people.
Right.
And make it not quite so overwhelming.
Yeah.
So let me start by asking this. Do you guys remember at a particular point in your life that you were really seeking and trying to figure out, you know, when was the time that you're like, what is my purpose here?
I remember, like, right before going to college, having that conversation and question. Because, you know, when you're 17, you should know what you want to do for your whole entire life.
Of course.
So that was a good time to talk about that. But I just remember the pressure that is put on you by the world.
Yeah.
That I need to know exactly what it is, because there's only one reason I'm here on this earth, and it's to do this one thing that I have no idea what it is.
Yeah.
So.
It is a lot of pressure.
It is.
It was something I never, for some reason, really ever thought about until God called me to teach his word, and then I knew that was a specific purpose that he had for me. But I really think that people make more out of it than what they should. I think that even if you get up every day and you serve the Lord with gladness, that I feel like that if you want to do what God wants you to do, that when if he has something specific for you, he will show you. Mm-hmm. And I hope that in saying that it relieves some pressure off of people, because in the Christian community, it seems like, I mean, I never thought about that until I got into a deeper relationship with God, and it seemed like that was all the big thing. Well, what's your gift, and what's God called you to do? And, you know, he wants us to be.
Yeah, right.
You know, and to enjoy him, and to enjoy our families, and enjoy the life that he's provided for us. And, you know, when God was ready to reveal to me that he wanted me to teach the word, he just did. You know?
But what Aaron is saying is a really good point. It does put a lot of pressure on people.
Sure.
And how about you?
Did you have 100%? Like, when I heard you talking, and when I heard you, it's like I think about the pressure that I had being, of course, a pastor's kid,
right?
And then also going to a Christian school where they talked about even like not dating unless you're prepared to marry that person. Like, is my purpose to be a wife then? Is my purpose to be a mom? Is my purpose to be, you know, like, they talk about purpose so much. And I remember going through that, and then also thinking about the emphasis that church a lot of times puts on platform and giftings. And you talk about fivefold gift, and you think about that, and that pressure of like, where do I fit? And I had a friend recently just
post that. Well, wait, let's go back, because you said the fivefold gift. Some people are going to be, what?
Like, so
that brings me back to my high school ministry.
Like the fivefold ministry, and I might get them some of them wrong. I know preacher, teacher, what's the other one? Is it evangelist?
I was looking at the boys when they did that message at church.
Prophet, apostle. All the fivefold gifts that are in the church. And I'm like, which one of them am I? The five.
But there's a lot of other gifts, too.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, those are five, and they're all key leadership positions. But there's a lot of other gifts. Organization is a gift.
Sure.
Giving is a gift.
Exactly.
Encouragement is a gift. And I think a lot of... I mean, obviously, outside the Christian community, that pressure can come too. I think especially for teenagers.
Yes.
You know, it's like, well, What are you supposed to do with my life?
In college, coming right out of college.
Do I even go to college? Because that's what my kids, what do I do with my life? I see my mom has so much college debt. Do I want to do that?
That's a good question. Is that my purpose?
Because I don't want that. Yeah. You know? Yeah. But, you know, so it's like a lot of those things. And then one of my friends recently posted, he's a label executive and for like a Christian label for really huge gospel artists. And he just had to say, like, he said, you know, God really impressed on my heart to encourage people to know that even though I sit on the background, he said, I never hit the platform, but he's one of the highest execs on the label. He's like, you never see my face. You don't, he said, but I didn't think I was anointed because I played a background role. He's like, but I am just as anointed as those artists that I sign and that are super anointed that are on the platform. Sure, yeah. And that just made me think about how much emphasis we put on anointing and purpose for those that are on platforms, are, you know, are up front. And that's some of the things I think that I put on myself because I knew God gave me a gift to be a forerunner and up front on things, whether it be singing, speaking, whatever I was going to do. But that put an extra pressure of being like, I got to be so anointed, you know? Yeah. You know, and then it also made people that were my friends not necessarily feel like they were as anointed and like, well, is my purpose just as good as that purpose? So
sure. It just puts a lot of questions. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it can be paralyzing.
Yeah, yeah,
I think that's one of the things. So we're going to try to help everybody work through some of this, but we're going to start with Joyce with a little bit of teaching on what not to do. Let's start there.
Therefore, verse 17, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. Now, here we come down to it. Probably 50, 60% of the church, maybe more, would say, well, that's my problem. I just don't know what God's will is. I'm just waiting. See, there we have it. Come on, I don't even need to go any further for some of you. I'm just waiting to see what God wants me to do. Come on. If I could just hear from God. Well, you know what? God can't drive a parked car. Maybe you just need to start going in some direction. You know, waiting on God is not a ministry. Now, the Bible talks about waiting on God, but it's not the kind of waiting that we do. It's not like waiting, doing nothing to see if God ever wants you to do anything. You know, when I first felt the call of God on my life, I mean, I did anything that was available to do at my church. And a lot of it, I wasn't right for me. I wasn't anointed for it. One of the things I did was I went out with a group of people and passed out gospel tracts on the streets of St. Louis, and I hated it. Hated it. I am not a street preacher. I mean, I didn't like it. And then I tried working in the nursery at church, and that only lasted a week, and me and the kids knew that weren't right. I tried the helps ministry, and I'm sorry, but that's not me either. I want to be helped. You know what? I'm a leader. I was born to teach. And when I started opening my mouth and doing that, now that worked. That worked. And see, you got to start moving and doing something till you find what fits. And sometimes at different times in your life, maybe something you've been doing for a long time doesn't seem to be fitting right anymore. You know what? I made a decision this past year. When I say I'm not going to be married to anything but Dave, I mean, we get married to our plan. Come on. Well, that's the way I've always done it, so that's the way I've got to do it. And especially when you're in ministry and you've been in a ministry for a long time, you got this system and you're working your system and you're doing what you do. And, you know, you can get married to your plans and not even hear what God's trying to say to you. You know, God, listen to me. God doesn't care how long you've been doing something the same way. If he wants to change it, what you've been doing won't work anymore. Amen?
That's so good.
Yeah. A couple of things I want to say. First of all, you were talking about platform positions. When you think of all the people there are that love God, that want to be used by God, there are relatively very few of those right. upfront platform positions. Mm-hmm. So people, first of all, must realize that being behind the scenes, those are some of the most important jobs that exist. I mean, you would say that I'm more upfront than Dave is, but I probably wouldn't even be on TV if it wasn't for Dave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he just kept, I mean, he would call radio stations and call radio stations and call radio stations to try to get me on the radio. And then he was really the first one that heard that I should go on TV. But then getting more to what we were just talking about, I just think that I really want people watching today to relax.
Yeah, it's a good word.
And to realize that mm-hmm. they don't have to know right this minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, to just live their life and enjoy God and enjoy their family and just be open to God mm-hmm. and do whatever needs to be done.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, and that, I think that's the best way, the quickest way that you find out what God wants you to do is sometimes to find out what he doesn't want you
right.
to do
mm-hmm.
is to, you know.
Try.
Yeah. Try. Just try it if it's something that you, and I also think God's not going to call us to do something we hate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's not going to call us to do something that we're miserable doing. So what do you like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you enjoy?
Mm-hmm.
What are you good at?
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to call you to do something that you're not good at. I mean, I tried for one day to be my pastor's secretary and got fired.
One day.
At the end of one day, they fired me. It was like, I don't get fired from jobs.
No.
You know? But God had not called me to be a secretary. He wanted me to teach. But I tried all those other things, mm-hmm. and sometimes I think that's good because then you once you find what fits you,
yeah.
it's kind of like when you go out to buy an outfit for something special. You try on all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. yeah.
And then when you find that one thing
mm-hmm.
that just looks right.
I know
like,
it.
I had on 4 necklaces with this outfit today before I found the one that I thought looked just right.
Yeah.
And so you can't, people are so afraid of failing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're so afraid of making mistakes
mm-hmm.
that
That's
they,
a huge
everybody hurdle. Wants a word from God to
yeah.
tell
yeah.
them
absolutely
what to do. And many times he just wants you to get out there and try some things. Like he told Abraham, leave what you're doing and go to the place that I will show you.
Mm-hmm.
But God showed him as he went.
Yeah.
yeah.
I think it's so freeing mm-hmm. to hear someone that's been so, I don't know if the word is successful, but I mean, it is successful. Like you've been so successful in ministry and writing books and things like that. Like you've blazed a trail for so many people in ministry and women in mm-hmm. ministry, and to hear someone that's been so successful and has such a you know a great foundation that's provided jobs for people, you know, it's just yeah. and helped so many people around the world, to hear that you weren't afraid to fail, like and that you tried, like something you said in that teaching that really made me laugh, literally several things made me laugh in that particular like clip was when you said like God can't drive a parked car.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so many people get paralyzed by the fact that they don't know yeah. what to do, so they just sit there
right, exactly.
and wait. And that's something that even I struggled with after I felt like I knew what I was supposed to do after the divorce. Because I yeah. realized that, like, when you said, like, you weren't married to anything but Dave, when I was, once I got married, I paralleled my purpose with my marriage and with my family mm-hmm. to the point that I lost even really listening to God on what he wanted me to do next, because mm-hmm. everything I did was so ingrained in my family and what we were doing in ministry together, the
sure.
legacy I was leaving for my daughter. It just became so much about that I wasn't even willing to pivot too much. So then after all of that changed for me and I was sitting in the house by myself, I didn't know what to do, because I'm like, my purpose at this point in my life had been to serve my family, even mm-hmm. when I was doing things in ministry. It was you know, to do things with my husband or do things for my kid to be proud of me. So, like, I've literally gone through a huge pivot in purpose.
That makes a lot of sense. I found that there's a big difference in a plan versus a purpose.
Yeah.
Like, I've had a lot of plans.
Say that again. That
I've had a lot of plans. Uh-huh. And like you're talking about what we think is going to happen and what we're working toward. And it's important to have that. We have to have that path. But often God's purpose is something very different than what I planned. And even if I think, you know, he's taking me there because those are good things. Your plan, what you were talking about, those are good things.
Yeah. And I really thought my purpose was ingrained in ministry with my ex.
Right.
Like, I thought that was our purpose together. Yeah. Like, you know, we knew, like, we had prayed and we had been planning for years to move to a certain part, you know, it, like, we were going to move because we felt called to that area, to do ministry in that area. And every time we went to that area, we would feel God. And, you know, and so it felt like that was God's purpose and his will for our lives. And so I did have a question about, like, will when it comes to, like, purpose, like, the difference between perfect will and permissive will. Do you, like, anybody have...
I remember hearing all that and being so confused.
Yeah, I was like, what?
You want to be in God's perfect will, not his permissive will. And you're like, okay.
We're glad you're here today, Joyce.
Thank you.
Answer that one.
Well, first of all, I would say that all those things that you felt, that doesn't necessarily mean that you were wrong. Because God may have a plan, but man doesn't always go along with what God has planned. But I always say that plan B can be better than plan A ever would have been if it would have happened. So it's not that you weren't hearing from God then. That may have been what God did want. He certainly didn't want divorce.
Right.
And that wasn't something that you wanted.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that God can't have a different plan for you now that will be just as good or possibly even better than the other one was.
And I believe that now. Yeah. I believe that now because of the fact that I've continued to move forward.
Yeah.
Even if the GPS in my heart kept saying rerouting, you know, like it just felt like it kept saying rerouting. I know that I'm still going to get to whatever the destination that was put in that original GPS. I know I'm going to get there. Yeah. The route might take a little longer because of decisions that I make, other people make, you know, but it's because I'm choosing to keep moving. Even when I'm like feeling stuck, I keep trying, you know, because I even wanted to quit doing this when I was going through that trial. Like, I didn't want to talk about it as much. Like, I really didn't, but I knew that God was wanting me to do it. But the encouragement that I get here, you know, of just like, keep going, you'll figure it out. And I'm feeling it and I'm seeing God in it now, even when I didn't know exactly where I was going.
Sure.
Yeah.
A few years ago when we moved to Oklahoma, and so the job that I had here before we left, I was managing a creative team and it was awesome. And I got to be with people every day and I just felt fueled and I thought, this is my purpose. This is what I'm here to do. And then we moved and then I got to do this really great, awesome thing to meet with our partners, but I was suddenly working alone in my room at home and I didn't ever see anybody. And I lost that, like, I didn't know how much I fed off of other people.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm alone and I talk to people on the phone, but that's not the same. And I was suddenly just like, who am I? And I felt like I lost my identity. And I thought, maybe we didn't hear from you. And so what you said in that clip just now too reminded me of that season that I learned what I was not to do. I learned how much I needed to be with people. I learned things I really loved, things I'm not good at. But I also learned that I needed to go through that season because it became so much about me. And I felt good when I was leading people and I was in this room with people and whatever. It was becoming less about what God wanted me to do, more about how I felt good about it. Mm-hmm. That was my purpose. So when God stripped that away from me for that season and it was all about me and him in that bedroom while I worked by myself, I kind of got this picture of how that's the purpose is not what I'm doing. What does he want me to do? He's the same whether I'm with a group of people or I'm alone.
Right.
You know, That makes sense. That was a lot of words.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense.
Well, purpose has changed, too. You know, I taught a home Bible study for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then I really felt strongly that God put on my heart that he was finished with that now. Hmm. And so I thought, well, here we go, boy, promotion. I'm going to, now I'm going
to,
now I'm going to do, you know, what's really been on my heart to do. And for a whole year, I did absolutely nothing.
Oh, I bet that
no
was a hard
door
year.
Opened. And it was a very hard year. But it was probably one of the most important years in my life, although I didn't understand it right then. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's people watching today and they're in a time where they just plain don't understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you have to remember that you live life forward, but you understand it backward. Mm-hmm. And I look back now, and during that year, God taught me how to be myself and not somebody else. And that's where I get the one of those funny stories about, you know, my neighbor who sewed and made her family's clothes. And so, I mean, the devil just got me convinced, you just need to settle down here and be a regular woman. So I got... She grew tomatoes, so I grew tomatoes. And Dave always said, you tell people you grew tomatoes, but I grew with the tomatoes. And I hated the sewing machine. I hated the tomatoes. Bugs came in overnight and ate my tomatoes.
I hate those tomatoes.
I called her and I said, because we were going to, it was time to harvest those tomatoes and we were going to can tomatoes. And why would, I don't know why anybody want to go through all that when you can go buy them through them.
But anyway,
I was being a regular woman. And the thing that was funny was overnight, these bugs came in, and I went out and looked at my tomatoes, and they had black holes all in them. And I called her, and I said, some kind of bugs came in and ate our tomatoes. And she ran out and looked at her. She said, my tomatoes are fine.
Of course they are.
So I went to God complaining. I said, now, wait a minute. I've prayed over my tomatoes. And why did they eat mine and not hers? He said, because I never called you to grow tomatoes. Mm. So, see, I was just trying to be something God didn't want me to be. Uh-huh. But before he could let me be what I was supposed to be, I had to learn that I was not supposed to be somebody else.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that would have followed me all the way through.
Yeah.
Up until now. So if people are in a place that they just plain don't understand, God may be doing something that you'll understand 5 years from now or 10 years from now.
Yeah. That's so crazy, because I remember in that season thinking, I'm going to be a regular lady. I'm going to be a regular mom who's home with her kids more, and we go to Target and we do regular mom things here, and we'll have play dates. And I hated it.
Yeah,
I loved my kids, and I loved being able to see them, and it was a gift in a way. But at the same time, I thought, I am not made for this life, and I never felt more clearly, I know I'm called to go out and leave them, but that season taught me that that's okay.
Yeah.
That my purpose is going to look different than somebody else's, and I think I needed that confidence to walk in that.
Yeah, you know, I found the coolest thing not too long ago. We were going through a bunch of stuff at home, and I found this folder with a bunch of stuff from college, and I had in there written my plan for life.
I love to hear.
Oh my goodness,
for your whole life.
I'm a planner, and that's why I say my plans are not the same as my purpose. But what I did find really interesting in all those steps that I thought I wanted to do, because here's something else that's really important, is that what other people tell you to do is not always your purpose or your plan.
Right.
Yeah.
Listening to other people too much can be very detrimental. But when I first went to college, I loved TV and I wanted to study TV. And my advisors and so many people said, you know, no, you've got these other talents. You need to go into the sciences. And so I started like that. And it was not a month until I changed my major.
Right.
But anyway, so then this paper I had written down, you know, I'm going to work in television. I'm going to be in New York City and, you know, have the big job, and I'm going to travel all over the world, and I'm going to write a book about my work and my adventures, and I'm going to serve God through all of it and use TV for him. So what I love about this plan is like, God gave me little glimpses of what he wanted, but he didn't lay out everything because it was so very different than what I had written out. But, and yet he gave me some of those desires that he put in my heart. And that's why I love where it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So the plan looked very different, very different in a lot of ways. But the purpose for me, I knew, was to serve God in wherever he put me.
Right.
And I think that's a big part of our purpose is to, you know, honor God and to love him with all of our heart, soul, and mind, to worship him and do what he wants us to do.
Whatever that is.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it may change.
It may change.
There's different seasons that God has for us, and not one of us sitting here or anybody watching. I mean, I think I know what I'm going to be doing for the next 10 years, but I don't know for sure.
Right.
You know, things are always changing, and we're making a mistake if we just let this bother us too much. I mean, I think I know enough about God by now to know that if I want to do what he wants me to do, he will always tell me what that is when he's ready, and I don't have to figure that out. I think that people trying to figure it out so much, they actually end up many times missing what God is trying to say to them. Yeah. I've discovered that when God wants to say something, he knows how to make himself heard.
That's true. He finds a way, doesn't he?
He finds a way to tell us.
So what, practically speaking here, both of what you just said is really good. So if you think you've heard God tell you something, like, I feel like this is what he's calling me to do, but then that's all he gives you. Like, you're going to go teach north, south, east, and west. And then he says nothing else. What do you do with that? Do I just sit there and, like, wait? Or what is your...
You do what he told you to the first time he told you.
But what is it? Was it, like, really specific? Or, like, what if you don't get a lot of clear direction?
Well, I didn't have any clear direction when God said, take your ministry and go north, south, east, and west.
So do you just do the best you can with what you know?
I just simply did what I've felt to do. I started a meeting in North St. Louis, one in West St. Louis, and, you know, I really, when I look back, it's like people always want to know, well, how do you do this, and how do you do that, and how do you do this? You just start taking steps, and you follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and you find out, well, this isn't going to work. Well, this is, and, you know.
You just keep trying.
You just keep trying.
Moving forward. That's the whole movement.
And adapt, right?
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing that I've learned recently is adapting and accepting when I've outgrown something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and accepting, like, okay, like, stop trying to squeeze into those jeans. They don't fit.
I accept
that season is over.
Just buy a bigger
pair of jeans that actually fit. No one's going to see the number inside but you, and if you don't like the number, cut it out. You
know, that's what scissors are for.
That's what scissors are for, to help you feel better about your life choices. But no, like, seriously, I've taken it even that simple to say, like, it's okay if it doesn't fit anymore. Like, not just clothes. I'm talking about, like, if what I used to do doesn't fit anymore, and if it comes back, you know, and that's one of the things that I know a lot of people that have different talents and different gifts don't know which ones to use at that time. Like, it's like, do I sing right now? Do I speak? Do I write? What do I do? You know, like, and it's like, what's my purpose? All of it. He puts it, you know, the desires in your hearts and the gifts in your you know, in you, because he expects a return on the investment. That's something I'm just learning to accept. And I'm like, if I get a song that God wants me to write, I'll just write it, you know? But if he doesn't, because sometimes I go through droughts where I don't even want to listen to music, you know? So it's like, I don't do that. And so then I'll use a different gift that God's given me. And I am learning. One thing I know for sure that divorce has taught me is to not hold on to things so tightly. And
that's good.
Like, and be,
it's hard.
It's hard.
Yeah.
But I've learned that, and I'm still learning it, but I live life a lot more with a lot more ease. And you know, and just like, I trust that God's got a plan, and as long as I'm still moving and breathing, I'm going to keep moving forward. And even if I fail, I'm not as afraid of failure anymore. Yeah.
Well, sometimes like, your person is being led by the Holy Spirit and they don't even know it.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, you just feel like you're just going about your business, just doing this simple little thing. Maybe you, whatever, you know, you go to the store and you don't realize that you're in the plan of God going to the store, exactly. And you just happen to run into a certain person mm-hmm. that happens to, you know. I mean, like I've had people say to me, oh my gosh, the very fact that I ran into you today, this is confirmation to me about this, yeah. that, or, you know, something else. And so we just say it again. Everybody needs to calm down
yeah.
about this and just breathe a little and just be. Mm-hmm. I think God's called us to be, not to do. And if you want to do what God wants you to do, He will show you what it is. Yeah. And like you said, let go of things when God's finished with them. You know, there may be somebody watching right now that your purpose right now is to raise 3 kids. Well, when they're raised and grown and gone, then God may probably will have you doing something else. And yeah. so
I love so much that failure does not mean failure of purpose.
No. Right.
When yeah. you try something and it doesn't go the way, like you said, there have been so many times that I thought God told me to do this and mm-hmm. yet it didn't work. Mm-hmm. But often God is using that failure to yeah. teach me something I needed to learn mm-hmm. or to direct me to the place I needed to be mm-hmm. for the next thing.
Yeah.
And so that I'm so grateful for that because mm-hmm. failure, nobody likes it. It can be so painful, but it doesn't mean that we've missed God yeah. always.
Well, or like
that
John we've Maxwell missed our says, purpose. You fail forward.
Yeah. Right.
You
know, exactly.
I think that all of us fail on our way towards success.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of it. You can. And if you're so afraid of failure, then you're really never going to find out anything about what you're supposed yeah. to do because you can't. You're not going to get it right 100% of mm-hmm. the time.
Yeah.
And it bothers us a lot more than it bothers God.
Sure. Right before we came here, you spoke in our chapel for employees. And so you were talking about the anointing of God. And I thought one thing that was really good in that stuck out to me was that for myself, as a type A personality who just wants to go, go, go and get stuff done, if I think I hear God saying something, I'm just going to like, we're just going to go. But there's a balance in that between running in my own strength mm-hmm. to get done what I think He's calling me to, or waiting, like you said, for the anointing. And if I have that on whatever this thing is, you can't miss it. You can't get away from that.
Yeah.
So I know for myself, I have to watch for that balance of
well, a
not
lot
getting
of
out.
Times God calls you to do things and you don't do them for years and years and years. I mean, David yeah. was anointed to be king and 20 years before he wore the crown.
Yeah. That's a long time to wait.
That's a long time yeah. to wait. And those 20 years he waited weren't very pleasant either.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, King Saul was trying to kill him the whole time.
Yeah. yeah.
So you, just because, you know, you can have something in your heart,
mm-hmm.
but you need to not try to make it
mm-hmm.
happen. You know, you can try to go forward, but if it's obvious that God mm-hmm. is not opening a door, you don't want to try to kick one down.
Yeah. yeah.
You want to wait for His plan and purpose.
Yeah,
and
I noticed timing. That too. Yeah, because sometimes you need that time to rest, even mm-hmm. to prepare for what's coming next. You know,
exactly.
like, and that's something I had to learn the hard way too. It's like, because I would just try to keep pushing forward, sure. be like, this is the purpose, and I ruin it, or you know, like mm-hmm. not the full purpose, but I end up possibly hurting people's feelings.
Sure,
I end up
yeah.
being because I'm tired and grouchy and mean to people on the way, you know, mm-hmm. and I end up messing it up ultimately. And
sure.
where
like we all do,
yeah. And so I think it's important for people to understand, like, if you're in that season where you're still kind of like tick tock, don't know what to do next. It's maybe it's a time for you to say la, like have a moment of rest
right.
And not too long, because I've taken that rest. But when you really know that God's called you to do something, you can't sit too long, like with yeah. because you feel like a parked car. Like, and I felt like wasted purpose. It's like, come on now, it's time to get up. But yeah. I've learned how to rest more.
Yeah.
Like, and I like yeah. it's just once you go through certain things, it just makes you like, I really want God. I want at the end of the day when I get to heaven for God to look at me and really say, well done. Like, mm-hmm. I want him to look at that list of things that he had for me to do. And like, hey, you did a lot of these. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to do all of them. But like, yeah. you know, like you did a lot of these instead of being like, well, you only did a couple. Like, that's a, like, I know that God's put a lot inside of me, mm-hmm. and I want to make him proud, and I want to fulfill the purpose I have in life. But like I said earlier, I think it's so refreshing for even someone like me that's type A as well, that wants to get things done. Mm-hmm. And I don't like failure. I'm accepting it more now. But to hear like all of you talk about like how okay it is for you not to hit a home run every time.
Oh, that's not true, though. I mean, we want to feel that way.
But
we know that it's true, but it's still so painful. It hurts.
And I know, but I'm saying, like, to even hear the like Joyce even say that she tried to work with kids and it didn't work. You know, like people feel bad about that kind of stuff, and it's, but it's okay to try things and it not work because our egos, we don't want to fail. Right. We want to win. We want to brag about the fact that we did it well, you know? So,
well, you know, we get into what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And first of all, God just wants us to be, he wants a relationship with us. He wants us to enjoy every day that he's given us and just be a blessing everywhere that we go. And, you know, sometimes, to be honest, that's all it is.
Yeah.
I mean, there may be people that will live their whole life just be a blessing everywhere you go, love God, worship him.
What a wonderful thing.
Praise him. You know, I mean, that's, you know, we just get too caught up in what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And then what were you guys saying about God's perfect and his permissive will? Is that something?
That was me. Because that was something I heard a lot, like, growing up. You know, you want to be in the perfect will of God and versus the permissive will of God. And so,
well, I guess it's something we don't have to figure out. He'll tell us.
See, this is why I love you. Because everything I was taught growing up, you're like, well, I mean, I guess we'll figure it out later. I don't know. I love that, though.
You know, I just went through so much of that it just about drove me crazy. I mean, and I finally learned that, you know, frustration equals works of the flesh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and God wants us to work, but he does not want our works of the flesh, which is us trying to do what only God can do.
Yeah.
And I can't make myself know what only God knows. Yeah. All I can do is get up every day and love him and be his child and,
yeah, that's, know, really true.
Go about doing what I think he, I mean, a lot of things that God wants us to do are simple things.
Yeah.
You know, they're just, they're just simple things. And, you know, if it's, is it God's perfect will? Is it permissive will? I don't, you know.
Yeah.
I've heard you talking about how important it is when we're talking about wanting to hear from God and knowing our purpose and seeking him to really spend time with him, to be in the Word, because that's where he tells us those things. And it's not as obvious as, you know, take this job and now go start this business, you know, whatever it may be. It's not always that specific. But something interesting, Tim and I have two daughters. Mm-hmm. And when, especially when they were younger, not as much now because, you know, relationships change. But when they were younger, they communicated in very different ways. Mm-hmm. And so our youngest daughter, Morgan, we knew what was always on her mind. You know, we talked a lot, and she would share what was going on in her heart, and I was able to hear all those things. Our other daughter, Taylor, was a little bit more reserved and more quiet. But what I realized was, for me to have that connection and communication with her, I had to be there when she was ready.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I had to be listening when she was ready to talk.
Yeah.
And she would come into my bedroom late at night, and we just sit on the bed and talk for a long time about things that were important to her. Mm-hmm. And I find that so much of our wanting to hear from God is that way. I have to be quiet and ready to hear him when he's ready to talk. And it's not because he's trying to withhold anything. Sometimes he's waiting for our spirit to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
But have understanding that relationship, that God wants us to know what's on his mind. Mm-hmm. He's not trying to keep anything from us.
Yeah.
But sometimes it takes a quiet spirit, like you're saying, to rest in him sometimes. Mm-hmm. We have to give him the chance to talk to us. I know I can be running so fast all the time that he's going to have to knock me down in order to get me to listen. Exactly. I don't want him doing that. So I want to stop and be ready when he wants to talk so that I can hear his voice.
Well, I'm going to say something that may throw everybody for a loop. So
I love it when you do that.
Let's just get into something.
Let's get into
a little bit out there. I think that a lot of times God just wants you to do what you want to.
Oh, whoa.
Mind blown.
Unexpected.
See? It's like,
I agree. Now I never would have thought that.
I mean,
I feel it now.
You know
I feel
why?
Like, yeah.
Because we have His Spirit.
Yeah.
So what we want a lot of times is just what He wants.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I raised 4 children and I don't feel the need to tell them everything that they need to do now. They have my spirit, they have my heart, and, you know, they need to be making their own decisions. And I don't think that God wants us to tell us, you know, now eat an apple, don't eat an orange, or, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
I think a lot of times He just, you know, there are things that God, put it like this, you know, maybe instead of finding out what God wants you to do, maybe you need to have a little more freedom and just begin doing things and trust God to stop you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, see, because it's about your heart.
Yeah,
if your heart's right toward God, I don't want to do anything God doesn't want me to do.
Yeah.
But if He's not saying anything and I need to do something, then I need to just, well, what do I want to do?
Yeah.
You know, and go do it. And if it's not right, trust Him to stop me.
I love that.
That's blowing my mind. Actually, I'm going to have to think about that one for a while. It feels so against what we've been taught. Not that it's just that there's such freedom in that.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously He doesn't want you to go sin if you want to sin.
Sure.
That's not what I'm talking about.
But, like,
about,
I know the difference as a follower of Christ. I know what the difference is.
Yeah, you know what the Word says. Yeah. You know, you've got God's heart. He doesn't have to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, when a kid is little, you have to tell them everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything. You have to tell them everything. But the older they get, the more freedom you want to give them and the more liberty you want to give them, because you have taught them.
Yeah.
And we've been taught. We know right from wrong. We don't have to have an instruction about every. Let me tell you something. I know the minute that I'm doing something God doesn't want me to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel it. I feel His conviction, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I
mean, definitely.
You know that. I know when I'm watching something on television I shouldn't be watching.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I know to turn the thing off. It's like, you know, I don't, what do you need to watch that for? It's not going to do you any good. So I turn it off. It's like, I don't, you know, show me what to watch. What should I watch? Show me what to watch. You know, we need to relax and breathe and enjoy God. And not make such a, even like this thing about God's perfect will and God's permissive will, I don't even know where that came from.
Right.
But, you know, all I know is God loves us and He's going to let us know if we love Him, He loves us. If we love Him and we want what He wants, He is going to make sure that we know what it is, even if we are a little hard of hearing or thick-headed. Sure. He'll get through to us and show us.
Matthew 6 says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's the things that He gives us that vary. I love what you're saying, because those are the things that He wants to lavish on us, because He's a good parent who loves us.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want to give such good things to our kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God knows so much about who we are and what we can accomplish. We don't know that as parents for our kids. But when we begin to see what they love and their desires, you know, we love nourishing those things in them. And God's the same way in us.
Yeah.
Delight yourself in Him and He will give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah, I truly do believe what you're saying. Like, as my daughter gets older, she's 19 now, and as she grows, I delight in seeing her make decisions for herself that even maybe I may not have even chosen for her had she had asked me for my opinion. But seeing her make decisions for herself that are going to push her in the right direction, like that, as a parent, that makes me smile. And I can only imagine that God smiles at us when He sees us like, ah, that's my girl. You know, she's going in the right direction. Cause I know how it makes me feel as a parent. I thought about even with you saying that you knew that God told you that you needed to teach and you know, and reach people.
But you know how I knew that? I knew that because that's what fit.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I was good at.
Yeah.
I mean, the first person that I led to the Lord, I felt like he just said to me, you're going to leave her that way? And I thought, well, what am I supposed to do to her? I don't know what to do with her.
Right.
And that was when God put it in my heart to teach. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To teach her. And I said, I don't know how to do that. He said, I know that, but I do. You know? And so, and when we say he said, it's, you know, it's
a knowing.
It's a knowing. It's a whisper in your heart. It's that still small voice. And, you know, of course, I've been at this for a long time now, so I get it. You know, people get all uptight about all these things, you know, and I'm just kind of done with that, you know. I'm just
is
like,
that what I look like to you?
Aaron, no, calm down. Aaron, breathe.
I just know that I love God and he loves me and I want to do what he wants me to do. And, you know, I know when I'm done here, I'm going to go buy a lamp and then I'm going to go home and I'm going to eat. And I don't know what I'm going to do after that, but whatever it is, I'm going to enjoy it.
I love that.
But the thing is, like, even with that, you've trusted God. You didn't know, like you said earlier, like Dave was calling to see about radio and then you ended up being on TV and who would have thought, like, and now we're speaking to millions of people through a podcast that also gets on a show. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think God, you know, has to speak all the details of the
Wouldn't that be terrible if he did?
Yeah. Overwhelming.
If he showed you all of it, it'd be like, whoa.
But he trusts what you, like, that you trust God, that you trust him, and you trust the people that you've, you know, trusted your ministry to as well to make certain decisions. It just goes into trust. I'm just saying,
trust is a big part of this.
It's just that simple thing of like, God trusts us, like we trust him. Yeah. And he's like, I trust you're going to get to the finish line. Like,
I think more than trying to figure it out, it's just doing what you think or feel that you should do after having prayed about it.
Right.
Trusting God that if you are going in the wrong direction, that he will get you back on the right path. I remember one time I was trying so hard to figure out what God wanted me to do. But God, what if I miss you? 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 And clearly he spoke in my heart, if you miss me, I'll find you.
Ooh, yeah.
And mic drop.
Yeah. And I think we're done. And I can guarantee you, like, one thing that I've used as like a guidance when I'm a little confused or like, God, I'm gonna miss you if I'm not. I know the devil's not going to tell me to help anybody. Like,
no, that's true.
Right. You know, that's so a safe bet.
You know what I mean? Like, if it's like, I don't know if I should, Lord, should I do this to help the kids? I mean, maybe it's not your thing, but it's okay to try it because Satan's not going to tell you to go help kids or help the homeless or, you know, or do certain things that are going to bless people. Like, that's not, Satan's not the author of like
love
helping
people,
to love people. So even if you take a risk and a chance on something, you don't have to stress over
God
it.
God says, no, loving people was not my purpose for you.
I think that was from the devil. No, that's not from the devil.
That was a safe
one to try. Yeah.
You know, God gives us a lot more freedom, I think, than what we think that he does because we have his spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
his spirit is in us. So we know more sometimes than we think we know, you know, because we've got his heart.
I had a thought this morning just as we were getting ready for this that when I for myself speaking, when I am desperate to find out what my purpose is, it's because I want to feel good. And it makes me feel important to know I have a purpose. And God kind of showed me, like, flip that around to think about, like, what is my purpose for you? Like, how do I feel about you? What does God say about who I am in him? And if I can flip my perspective to who he says I am and who he says he is in my life, it does exactly what you're saying. It flips my perspective to whatever you want me to do today, I will do. I'll help who you want. I'll love who you want. And then the rest he takes care of.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's good.
I love watching our children find their purpose. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love watching and you know, they're trying different things. They're not always succeeding. They're growing and they're not going to disappoint me. Because they're trying.
Yeah. Right.
And God, I know how much he delights in all of us when we're trying to please him. If we're trying to hear his voice, if we're trying to find his purpose for us, we cannot fail.
Yeah.
Right.
Because our desires, and like you said, our heart is in the right place. So
don't
be a parked car. That's a really important thing. We hope you've been encouraged a little bit. And we do have a free resource for you if you'd like that will be really helpful. Also, you can go to joycemeyer.org/talkitout and get a free audio teaching. This is from Joyce's series called Living on Purpose for a Purpose. And the clip that you heard today is from that teaching. So you'll get a free audio download from that if you go there. And of course, you can find out more about the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. Join us as often as possible. Thank you all very much. I think this has been so helpful. It's really so good.
Purposeful. Good.
Now we're all nice. Nice.
Now my purpose is to get something to eat because I'm hungry.
That's right. And to buy a lamp.
Buy a lamp.
Beyond that, I don't know.
We'll just see what happens.
I don't have a clue.
We'll trust God, and we'll see everyone next time. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
JoyceMeyer.org/talkitout is a wonderful place. Go there for today's resource to check out all of the episodes and to get to know us a little better. Please don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen or watch Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast and let us know what you're thinking. Your voice is important to us.